The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
No problem at all, man. No
all right, man. All right, Chris. Yeah. Chris, boy. All right, so, so for years we have been hearing about this. I'm sure you know, I don't know if your background is a teacher, but for years we've been hearing about every time, right, July, August, vacation, come up, parents going to register their children in school, that they are faced with this registration fee. And then we have tutor coming out and Ministry of Education coming out and saying, no, you're not supposed to do the registration fee. But parents are asked to pay it when they reach the school. So just clarify this, where this comes from and what should really be done.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Tidbase. And it's a pleasure speaking with you, man. I follow you all the time. I know Tidbase, no time to waste.
All right, yeah, man.
We ain't wasting time today. All right, so in terms of the Education Act itself speaks to the fact that no monetary contributions should be imposed upon parents upon registration. That is the Ministry of Education will have articulated that based on the law of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, which is stated emphatically in the Education Act, right? That governs all education activities and so on. What happens over would have happened over the years is that a lot of schools would have initiatives that they want to start at their school, or they want to continue, whatever. They want the new students coming on to participate in. So many of them, what they do is they would have put that in place into the money that the parents have to pay. However, some circumstances, not everybody could afford that, and we have to be realistic, and schools need to be mindful of that. So what the chief education officers in the past would have done, and even this present chief education officer, Dr. Peter Smith, they would have sent out a circular and a memorandum, actually. And when a memorandum goes out, it's an instruction from a senior officer, which is the chief education officer, to all principals in public primary schools. But I want to be very clear, this is public primary schools, public secondary schools. Well, public secondary schools in this case, because they're going on to secondary school from primary schools, right? So the private schools may have a different arrangement. But the public schools, they are not to ask for any fees directly related to any kind of extra activities that the school wants to engage in. Some schools still have registration fees in terms of the report cards, report books, and so on. And these have to be identified. You have to be fair. Identify to the parents what it is you're paying for. And some schools would, at the end of the day, parents want to ensure that their children are there, so they don't even ask a question. They simply go and they pay it. But tutor would want to make the position that if it is that a school wishes to do something like that, then you should justify what it is you're asking the parents to pay for.
All right. But has tutor done anything over the years? But has tutor or the Ministry of Education done anything over the years to talk to the particular schools that are charging these registration fees and say, okay, well, what is this about? You know, and let's come to some kind of medium, because like I say, it's been done year after year.
Right. So basically, let me hit the nail on the head there one time. When I stated initially that the chief education officer would have sent out a memorandum, that is an instruction from your senior officer. If a principal is in breach of that, a principal would have been in what you call misconduct. A principal could basically be charged. A principal could be disciplined. All these things can happen if it happens. So if it is that parents are concerned about the fees that are being imposed upon them at the particular institution that their child would have been assigned, they are always free to go to the Ministry of Education. Now, I want to be clear about it. Tutor has nothing to do with this. This in terms of remedying or rectifying the situation, because tutor cannot take action against any principal. That is for Teaching Service Commission to do, and the Ministry of Education, of course, will do the recommendation. So if there's a principal who is in breach of this, then the parents themselves need to put it in writing. If it is not written, our IR department in tutor says, if it is not written, it is not said, it is not done. Nothing, no action will be taken place there. So put it in writing, go to the Ministry of Education. Don't just simply go blindly and pay the money. But over the years, yes, principals would have been called in. Principals would have been, I don't know if any would have been disciplined, but I know for a fact because you asked about my background before. So I was a teacher, a principal also for 11 years. I was also a school supervisor. So I would have had calls to treat with principals who would have been putting this in the writing in terms of their book lists. So it is being addressed by the Ministry of Education as far as tutor is aware. And if parents have issues with any particular schools, because you would find this in the minority abyss, you will not find this in the majority. You'd find it in the minority because the majority of principals genuinely try to comply with the law.
Mm-hmm. But some people are messaging me saying that it's not the principals asking for the money. I mean, when you go to register in a school, you're not seeing a principal there. You're seeing teachers or whoever taking the registration and they're asking for the money. So is it that I would doubt that these teachers doing it without the principals knowing? I mean, what is really
never,
going on?
Never. Mm. Never based on. No, that is not how they. I mean, all right, everybody's interpretation of things could be a little different. Huh? So when you have a principal alone cannot register hundreds of children, that is impossible. Everybody would agree with that. So what the principal would do is the principal would have staff on a particular day assisting, and these staff members cannot impose any fees on their own, so they cannot do anything. Anything that they're doing there is upon the instruction of the senior officer of the plant, which is the principal. So any fees that are being asked for, the principal will have knowledge of it. It cannot be that the principal is unaware that this money is being asked for. Thank you.
All right, well, that's good. Well, any parents listening right now, I want any of you parents out there listening right now to call me up at 625-2257, 627-3223, or WhatsApp me at 306-1065 and tell me of your experience, the school you went to, and what was your experience on this registration fee. Because like I said, Ministry of Education and tutor says you are not supposed to pay the registration fee unless it is one of these private. What would be considered a private school, like a private, this was secondary school, like what? What is a private secondary school?
Private secondary school. Look like one that people are not aware of. You see, Bishops and Trinity
East. Bishops and Trinity East. That is a private school. Okay, right.
Yeah, those are private schools run by the Anglican
Board. Okay, so they would have a different arrangement, right?
Some of their policies, the ministry wouldn't really come and impose upon some of its sanctions on them and their teachers and so on. But as I said, the fees, even though they ask not to charge any fees, the schools sometimes they have fees that they should identify them. If you have a caution fee for a lab, for example, children have to use a laboratory. A lab is not easy to furnish, and the ministry sometimes does not provide all the necessary equipment. So if things are broken and so on, they need to replace them. So sometimes for lab caution fees, yes, schools sometimes do things like that.
All right.
But other things, you just have to detail it and let the parents know. Don't just ask people for money.
All right, so there will be a breakdown, obviously, of what the parents paying for. I want to know if a parent could say, well, I'm not paying for that. Why must pay for this? Or why must pay for that? Let's take a call on here. We have a parent on the line here to find out what hopefully there's a parent. All right, 625-2257, 627-3223. Good afternoon.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, good afternoon. Are you Morales? Are you a parent? I want to get some. Well, I know you're a parent and you have two boys, but will you ever, you know, charge this registration fee?
But you're happening, right? The schools, they call them the non-national schools. Remember, they don't carry on. They don't wait on no ministry to fix nothing. So they just have certain fees for certain things. But at the end of the day, I cooperated with them because my children went to the school, in primary school, and the secondary school they went to. They did not carry on a fee, but what we used to do is like, when we came in, we had a fee for the PTA, had a fee, right? But the PTA are not actively involved and maintaining the school. So I was part of the crew, and I seen what they would get done. So what we used to do, like, we built a whole shed in that school for about 40 feet long, right? Our parents supplied all the labor and so the technical work, and we had our parents contributed towards it accordingly. So we used to have, like, a project contributory, like, different projects. We, like, want to do the lab, we want to do this. Sometimes we show barbecues and what used to happen, I was like, that people out there couldn't even come for the barbecue, but they'll just sponsor to get that.
All right, but I could understand that. That's totally different. I mean, you giving up your time, your energy, your money and things. But like I said, it really has some parents out there complaining. Listen, they're charging me a 2,000 something, a 3,000 when I go to register my child in the school. And why is that? I mean, I always tell people education is not free, Mr. Ash. I tell you, I mean, Eddie, we say we have free education here in this country, but education is not free. You can't get everything for free. You have to pay for something. Right? Do you agree?
Yes, and as the caller stated there too, so there are things that the school and the administration, the principal may want to do from time to time. And the reality is, based, if you go to wait on the ministry as a principal, as a former principal, I could tell you that.
Mm.
But, you know, they do things on a priority basis, and things that are not priority to them, they will take forever. I was in a school in Barataria Boys RC Primary. I was there for 11 years.
Right.
And we lost one of our three buildings, so we had no covered area for the children to play base.
Mm-hmm.
So rain, fall, wet in the children. Sun shining, they're dying with heat.
Yeah.
So they have no covered area to play. I beg the ministry every Christmas, August, Easter vacation, I write it down as a principal. I want to have a covered area. They remove one of our three buildings. We only have two buildings now. And they never took me on base. You know what I did?
Mm.
With the assistance of my PTA, we built a shed costing $140,000. You know how much boat crews and how much cake sale that is for a very small school?
Hmm.
That's quite a lot, you know. We did quite a lot to ensure that happens, so that the principals sometimes have to take a little initiative and they have to do what they need to do to ensure that their schools kept they kept floating, you know, and performing. But at the same time, one has to be cognizant of the fact that you have some persons who may even try to be unscrupulous.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to safeguard against those things, and that is why schools from time to time, they are audited. You may not be aware of this, but schools are audited, their finances are checked, and if they're found wanting, somebody could be well losing their job and losing their freedom as well. It goes that far.
All right. Somebody is saying here, the prestige school parents pay the money without thinking. That is why they get good results. Now, come on, that's a very ignorant thing to say. Not everybody could afford to. I mean, yes, you have children. Mm-hmm. Children are expensive. Yes, when you have children, you have to be prepared to spend your money, right? But you're doing children, maybe you might have lost your job. Maybe it's a single parent, mother, father just died, something. You don't know people's situation, right? So schools have to learn to work with people. Somebody's saying Mr. Ash is being disingenuous. Government schools, both private and government, haven't been asking for registration fees for the last 20 years from my personal experience. Well, that may be your personal experience, but there are schools that have been asking for money, right? Right, but you yourself have heard of this, right? Because we didn't just make up this.
I listen, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. But when people speak and they speak as if they're speaking from a point of authority, I want to ask them what authority they're speaking of.
Mm.
Because I just told you that I was a school teacher.
Principal.
I was a school principal.
Yeah.
And I also, I would have been a school supervisor,
right.
Which is, we give instructions to the principals.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am tutor president. I didn't just fall on my head, boops, and become tutor president just like that.
Right.
So when I speak, I speak from fact and from evidence and experiences.
Yeah. And of course, it's good that parents would want to, and if they could, contribute. Nothing is wrong with wanting to contribute and make sure that your child, or if you could help other children in the school too, you know, benefit.
What happened along the way, Base? You know what happened?
Uh-huh.
Something happened where some schools would have been, for whatever better word, I would say ridiculous.
Mm, yeah.
And the amount of money that they would have been asking for would have been ridiculous. So the Ministry of Education itself said, listen, this cannot be, because we have people who, you have a bright child who passed a so-called, what we call good school or whatever the case is, and all schools are good, just wanted to know that. And they would be willing to try to bend over backwards, these poor parents sometimes, to find the money. So the ministry stepped in and they gave instructions to the principals. And those instructions are to be followed. And if they are not followed, as I said initially, and I would want that caller who said that I am disingenuous and so on and thing. I don't know if that person knows me, but I am one of the most truthful person you can talk about in terms of when I speak about education. Because I am, say it as it is, call it as it is.
Yeah. All right. But could we come to some kind of medium as to what is too much? What is too much?
Yes, we can't put a figure on that, you know, because what happens in some schools, they offer more than others. All right, so you have schools may offer extracurricular activities, and they say, listen, we want to develop what is called a holistic child. A holistic child is not a child who just good at academics alone. So they may want to mandate and say, listen, every child must take part or must participate in at least two extracurricular activities. So you may have things like, I don't know, cricket, football, archery, different things.
Mm.
And in their attempt to ensure that every child comes out there well-rounded and ready to be integrated into society, what happens is that these things will happen for free, because you have many of the times it's external people teaching, might be doing some of the courses, they have to get equipment and so on. Those things are not free. So the parents need to understand also that when the schools ask for these things, you don't just go and give them the money blindly and as you say, play stupid and just get them money. But at the same time, when you ask for the breakdown, you must also be realistic because these schools have to pay for these things. People are of the opinion that the Ministry of Education provides every single thing that schools require to run. And that is not true. That is not true.
So when the budget is passed and you hear how many millions that the budget and an allocation and the Ministry of Education is in the top three or the top five, you telling me that is still not enough money?
And Bruce, you know what I'm telling you? I want you to take this in context for me. Mm. So all the millions of dollars there and teachers still ain't getting back pay up to now.
Acclaiming
from since then, the Minister of Education went and they did the revised budget.
Yeah.
They put in play and they asked for extra money.
Mm-hmm.
When the question was posed to him about the teachers' back pay, he said, no, that is not there. But you see what has happened sometimes. People do things according to how they see fit to prioritize.
Right.
So the things that they are interested in. So this particular Minister of Education, he has a trust in terms of developing and improving the Ministry of Education in terms of AI and electronic means and so on. And Twitter is not opposed to that. However, we are saying you can't simply jump to those things when you have basic needs that are not being met.
Yeah, true.
You have the employee assistance program base, which is non-existent. You have teachers who would normally go and speak to a professional, a psychiatrist or something like that. And now you are not afforded that opportunity, but you expect those same teachers to come in school, come in class every day and interact with children and perform to the best of their ability. So parents who are being asked to contribute this large sum of money base, I would encourage them to question the teachers who are asking them for the money, the principals directly. Question them. Well, like you said, it wouldn't be the principal asking them. It would be one of the teachers, one of the representatives of the school, right?
Right.
But ask them for a breakdown. Ask them for a breakdown. Why am I paying this? I have no problem paying it. But can you tell me what am I paying it for? What is wrong with that question?
Mm-hmm. Of course, 4625-225-7627-3223-306-1065. We just completed a SEA. You know, some children would have passed. Are you in terms of, you know, being in tutor? I don't know about taking other words. If it's who tutors, well, maybe not tutors' responsibility, but of course to work with the Ministry of Education to take our education of our children to the next level. You know what I mean? Not everybody is academically inclined. Some of us, like me, always love music. Some of us, you know, some people in the trade, in schools. What are we doing to ensure that every child leaves school successful? Not just with eight or so much passes, but with a skill, whether it be business, something with their hands, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I know right now that this present minister, if it's one thing, he's trying to put in place and return to some of the tech voc area. So the technical vocational skills that would have been lost. You know, long time when you were going to school, you would have had, I believe, we are around the same age, so you have metal work and...
Yeah, that trade and thing in school. Yeah,
technical drawing and thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. So if you're knowing, might not be too inclined in terms of the academics, at least there's some sort of avenue for you. But remember, you need the basic skills too. So the basic mathematics, the basic English language and so on and thing. There's no excuse for that. You have to get those because you have to be able to communicate and communicate effectively if you're to be a businessman. That is the reality. Mathematics and so on. You have to be able to calculate and do your numerical calculations. If you're a tile man, you can't just tell people, well, go and buy 100 tile, and next thing every minute you have to go out and buy tile, you have to be able to calculate area. So the Ministry of Education, as far as tutors are aware, they're working in relation to continuing to work with the technical vocational teachers. However, we are having some issues, with respect to some of them being certified, because they have to be realistic based. These people are qualified people, so they can go out there and work in private industry and make much more money than they would being teachers. So what is in place to encourage them or motivate them to continue being full-time teachers or stay in the teaching service? They have bills to pay, just as everybody else. They have families to support. So sometimes what happens is that we lose the best of the best, and we have to just maintain with what we have. And that is not necessarily what is best for a nation's children at all.
Right. And as I mentioned, teachers, one of my pet peeves, if I've been saying this for years, I find there are way too many female teachers in our schools. When I was older school, I went to Rosie Boys after Trinity, but in Rosie Boys in primary school, there were a lot of male teachers. And when I say men, I mean 6 feet tall men. You know what I mean? When they talk respect, they talk respect.
Yeah.
Them children and them fighting now in school, all kind of thing. You couldn't even whisper around some of these men in schools, right?
Correct.
Why is it that, you know, men are being discouraged from, you know, being teachers? Or what can we do to encourage more men to be teachers?
No, I don't think it's men being discouraged at all. No, I don't think men are being discouraged. It's that how many men actually gravitate towards the teaching service, because men are ultimately considered the breadwinner of the family. So a man knows that he has to go out there and work, and it depends on how many persons have the patience. Teaching is not an easy thing.
Well, I tell you, I can't be a teacher with them children.
It's a vocation, it's a calling and a calling. So my thing to them, I would always ask, I say, so how is it that I hear the calling and you didn't hear the calling? Why you didn't hear? You have selective hearing? Because it is the reality. Some persons will gravitate towards it and some persons, but I hear your point in terms of the male role models, because you need that. Not trying to trivialize the female aspect of it. But we know that when you have the men at the helm and men, male teachers and so on, the boys respond in a different way. And we're all aware of that. And then you have that model to follow. And you have something that we call the hidden curriculum third base. What that is about is the hidden curriculum is everything that is not written there, but the children seen nonetheless. So they look, first of all, if you come to work on time, but you're coming to work on time, they look to see how you attire yourself as a teacher, as a principal. They look to see how you interact with your colleagues and so on. So all of these things are very important. So the men out there, I think most of the time, some of them find, I don't know, the job might be too soft for them or something, but I know what they're thinking, because teaching is not an easy thing. It is so tiring. It is one of the most stressful jobs, if you Google it, in the world. That is why when the children, the educators and them, and the psychologists would have stated, listen, somebody's learning span could only be for 3 months or 4 months or whatever the case is, and then they need a break. So it's not only the children that need a break. The teachers also need a break, and that is why you have the vacation periods and so on.
Yeah, man. But I always say that teachers should be the most highest paid profession in the world, but I think something could be done to tell Ministry of Education to come together.
Tutor is in agreement with your base.
Should be highest paid profession. Without teachers, we won't have lawyers and doctors and all kind of, we won't have nobody. Come on.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Yeah. I agree with you. You know what I always ask people to this? I ask them this. If it is that they were self-taught, that's my question to them. Because the way that it's get on as if the education system is in such a deplorable state that we are not producing any children who are ready for the society and thing, and that is not true. That is not true. It is working. It may not be working to the full capacity or to the best that it can work. We know there's always room for improvement. But all of these persons, all the politicians, the prime minister, the president, everybody, would they not have had a teacher at some point in time? I'm sure they would have had multiple teachers. And so teachers are very important, and we are basically considered the backbone of any country, because without good teachers, how are you going to have good students and good persons to integrate into society?
Yeah, true. But I do believe there should be some sort of a recruitment drive for men in schools. For years I've been talking about having the police officers in schools. Years I'm talking about that, having police, especially in some of these troubled schools. I believe that some of them police officers could even be trained to be probably teachers. I think there was a teacher who was upset with me about that, because a police is a police, a teacher is a teacher. But just to get some of that many figures in these schools,
I know,
I wouldn't do anything.
I know what you say, and I agree with that to an extent. To my personal opinion is that even the principals, they were given, possibly were given the opportunity to consider if they would want to be special reserve police. Because when a man comes into your office base and he comes in in an adversarial sort of attitude, and he's speaking to you as a principal. But if he knows and he's aware that, listen, I'm not only speaking to Mr. Ash as the principal, I'm also speaking to Mr. Ash, who is the police officer. So then I have to watch my tone. I have to watch and not use any obscene language. I have to be professional in my utterances towards Mr. Ash. But sometimes they don't feel like that, and they treat persons in authority, such as principals and other persons in the education system, with a certain level of disdain that is not becoming of parents at all. Because a parent coming in a school to find out something, nothing wrong with that. You're always welcome, and you should always be welcome in the school. But when you enter that school, you must come in such a manner that it is not deemed adversarial. That is the key.
Yeah,
and in terms of the men, the young men getting into the job, I like I said, we are in agreement, and we always try to encourage as many of them to come in as they can. And women also say that, men, the Ministry of Education are a little biased to men, because men just get promoted more and things. I don't know that to be true. I honestly don't know that to be true. However, I know that in terms of discipline, where I was, like I said, I was St. Dominic Savio Barataria Boys RC Primary School. And when I went there initially, there was a serious problem with respect to the discipline of the children, and especially the boys. Basically, I'll give you this joke. A little boy stated to the next one, and actually stated to me as the principal within my first month there. He said, like, you want a fight? Now, the young man is addressing me. He's in standard five, and he's telling
standard
me,
five.
Asking me, the man asking me if I want a fight, just so. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, no. One of the other students said, boy, that is the principal you're speaking to. Why you're being disrespectful? He said, no. But the man watching me like you want to fight, man? I said, but you see, sometimes it's not their fault. It's what they, what
but
is
the it home? What happens in the home? In the home.
Exactly. It's how they grow up. That's unfortunate. You know, so we try our very best in the school to try to bring them out of that, because not everything sometimes that is taught in the home is the best thing. Then the school has to pick up the slack and do what is necessary. Because at the end of the day, you know what happens? We have to interact with these children. Our children have to interact with them. Our friends have to interact with them. And we want to ensure that they're good and productive citizens of Trinidad and Tobago and the larger world as well.
Some of them parents, boy, oh gosh. But guy was even shocked that you even had to put up a... I went away and come back. I was shocked that you have to put up a sign for to have a dress code to tell parents how to dress to enter school. And it's still happening. Women wearing all kind of things to pick up the children by the school. You know what I mean? I say you have to do that.
Yes. Correct. You know much Coral and Buff I get as a principal and thing, like if I want them to dress up in three-piece suit and thing to come in. Man want to come in slippers and all kind of thing and three-quarter pants. I tell them, what I would have told them, I say, so, what when you if you or one made the argument, now a few of them, when they go to the bank, I have plenty of money in the bank, and when I go to the bank doesn't tell me anything. I say, but you have to remember, the bank wants your business, the bank needs your business, and you are the one who asks to go to the bank, and they have nothing to do with that, and they will take your money regardless. I say, but if you're going to any government business, well, let us presume, and I give them this one example. You're going to the American embassy
you can't just say,
Would you dress like that? Oh, gosh, man. Don't do me that. Dress appropriately and show your children the correct thing to do. Some of the ladies sometimes tell the boys all kind of belly and back outside and all kind of thing, and you want to come in the school. No, you cannot enter a school like that. You have to be dressed appropriately.
Tell you, some of these mommies looking for more daddies. Let me reach out some of these comments here. Yeah. Those fees were in existence since the late 1990s and early 1980s and early 1990s. In addition, there was an optional group insurance requirement for the period of time that the child spent at the school. The school is located near Napa. I think this is not a bad idea if the parent can afford it. Well, if the parent can afford it, fine, but I don't know. Maybe some parents in our days that had a fee and they wasn't saying anything. I don't know.
No. Money thing running from long time in the business. Money, asking for money, and that is not a nowadays thing. If people get in that perception from my utterances and thing, that is not the truth.
Okay, it happened long time.
This has been happening since the beginning of time. People are saying, what I stated is that, remember over when time elapses and thing, what happens is that people sometimes just get a little greedy and they might be asking. All right, so let's presume we're asking for $5 all the time. But then we realize, okay, we didn't get any first to get it. Why can't we ask for 10? And we ask for 10. And not that they're not doing good things with the money, you know, because, I mean, I don't believe that any principal or teacher or any, they're taking that money to use for their personal use. I want to believe that they're doing it for the school. So something will be improved in the school. However, we have to be fair across the board, because not every parent can afford it. And that is the reality. You have parents who would have, take sometimes on a daily basis, they have to take the last dollar to send those children to school. And when you're telling me that I have to have $2,000 or $1,500 to think, is it that you're offering me a sort of a payment plan? Or must I have all of that money to pay you
one time
for my child?
Plus, I'd buy books, I'd buy uniform, you know, all them kind of thing too.
And but secondary school books ain't cheap enough.
That's another thing too with these books. I mean, that's why I was kind of glad they're introducing, well, not the AI thing, because it makes no sense that you have to be buying. Imagine if I have a son in third form, like back in the days I saw it was in third form, three, right? My son could have, if my son now going in form one, right, they could have used form one, my son form
the other books,
and the other books, something. But no, every year is every term is a new edition. Every year is a new edition. Books, and you have to keep buying books.
Again, That caused the problem because the booksellers, what they started to do is put on, say, what new edition and updated edition and improve. So, and sometimes they're very minuscule things that would have been done to them. No major alterations and thing at all. And they just say that they were, we charging more money for because they wanted to buy the new one.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the old one and passing it down, then they're not going to derive any profits.
Right. Yeah, that needs to stop, man. Somebody said, good afternoon, what about the BOAs whose contracts have ended? How are the principals supposed to function? What are the BOAs? I heard something about what is the BOA?
Let me tell you what that is in a nutshell.
Yeah.
So the BOAs are it stands for Business Operations Assistants.
Uh-huh.
What they are, they would have been people like the what you call long-time secretaries. So the secretaries attached to the schools.
Yeah.
What happened is in November of last year, 2025, most of them, their contracts came to an end. They were on three-year contracts. Now these three-year contracts lasted for a period, some of them as long as 20 years they were working in the system, but at the end of the one year they get a contract renewed and they continue getting it renewed for years. So they were more or less settled in the system, thinking that, all right, well, I've been working here for 15, 20 years and so on, some less, and I don't have anything to worry about. What happened is that their contracts came to an end in 2025, November, some of them, and some of them even up to April 2026, and they have not been renewed. We have been asking the Minister of Education to shed some light on the situation. What he has told Tutor is that they're looking at the whole business operation assistant and the job that it entails, and they're trying to re-engineer it and get the best fit for the program. Now, my question in all of that base is this. So the people who were there before, is it that you're telling me that they were incompetent and qualified to do what they were doing all the time? And all the time, these schools running efficiently, effectively, and at the end of the 3 years, what the principal would have had to do is an appraisal for these persons. And when they do the appraisal, they also write a recommendation if they recommend Mr. Ash to return as a BOA. And they will write it, and they would have done it. And you know what has happened? These people have been unemployed since November last year. And their money is small, and they have families. They have children to send to school. They have children, I'm sure, who would be going to secondary school, some of them, and in Form 1. Where are they going to find the money? If it is that you want to make things better, you just simply cut out a large group. So the principals, they are our members. We have members of Tutor who are principals, and that is what they work along with the principals. They help the principal in the execution of their duties. So all this paperwork and clerical work and things that the ministry wants from time to time, that is what the BOA does. The BOA helps. And the BOAs, at this point in time, unfortunately, BOAs, I am to tell you that Tutor has had no favorable response from the Ministry of Education in terms of your plight. You know that we have been articulating on your behalf, and we will continue advocating on your behalf. But to date, no. Nothing has come to us in a positive way to say, yes, you all will be reinstated. I can't say anything about that because I don't have any information. Thank you.
All right. What about good afternoon? Can you shed some light on CAC? What is that?
Yes. CAC is a continuous assessment component. What happened is that the Ministry of Education, some years ago, that was somewhere between, I was a principal at the time, so when they started it. So they had the CAC before and then they stopped it. So it was within the time of Gopi Singh. So he was the minister at the time, and Dr. Gopi Singh, and they introduced the continuous assessment component. What they saw is the same thing you were talking about. Not every child might be academically inclined. So what their initial proposal was, to provide avenues for children to get a mark even before the date of the SCA. And you're putting things in place in terms of the reading, the writing, but other things as well. So they introduced like physical education, they introduced music, they introduced dance, drama, and all these things. So those children who were not so academically inclined, but they could do things physically, they got an opportunity, a fair opportunity to get some marks down. But what happened with that first incarnation of the CAC is that it was a bit overwhelming. They actually put in too much. So they tried, the attempt and the initial thing was to cut down the workload and the volume for the children. But it did not do that. What it did is that it increased it. So every Monday morning, there would have been an assessment. Every Monday morning, there was something for the children to do in terms, and the children were becoming overwhelmed because I would normally have my mathematics, my creative writing, and my language arts at the end of Standard 5 when I write SE. All right, no problem, all well and good. But then you're telling me throughout Standard 4 and out the 5 as well too, I have more exam to do. So you ain't really make it easier, you make it more difficult. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to reintroduce the program, but they have assured Tutor and a number of organizations, listen, it is not going to be as cumbersome, it's not going to be voluminous as it would have been in the past. And we have put things in place. They had consultation with a number of entities. Tutor would have been the first group that they met with. We would have given them a number of suggestions, and we didn't just stop there. Tutor went ahead and we actually put it in writing what our concerns were. Because some of our concerns would be things like the persons who are doing the assessment, they wanted the school supervisors and the curriculum officers who are already in the system, who are already overworked, I might add, right? Mm-hmm, and they want to give them assessment now to go through all the schools in the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago to do this assessment. Now, how is that possible? In the past, with the last one, what they did was that they hired people called monitors, and these monitors would go into the school just to make sure that there's a level of objectivity now. Because remember, a teacher in a school, a principal in a school, sometimes people may want to correct something or assess something, but they might be a little too easy on the children now. So you want to make sure it's done fairly and across the board in terms of equity for all the schools. So they would have hired monitors. And I guess in an attempt to save funds and so on, they are not doing it. Mm. But the CAC is something, Tutor doesn't have anything against the CAC, because we see it as an opportunity for students who might be inclined to not necessarily just academics alone, they might be inclined in other areas to get an advantage in terms of their marks and things. What we are asking, however, is that if you're doing all of that, you can't just be having the SEA normal again. Because is it that you're going to look at the weighting of the SEA now? Is it that you're going to reduce the number of questions that are being asked? Is it that you're going to not have all three examinations on one day? Because I can tell you, from a former principal of a primary school, there was one year when they only had the languages and the mathematics paper. And that went very, very, very smoothly, because the children had two exams to do on the day as opposed to the three. So it eased them up a bit, because what they did is that they collated marks from creative writing before, and they were able to assign each child a mark from before. So if the CAC is going to be introduced, then it must be able to add some sort of value in terms of that. And then you're looking at the time frame in order to write the examination as well. Is it that now you're going to give them more time to write the SCA, because you have all these assessments, multiple assessments that you'd want to do before and have the marks for? So by the time it reaches down to SCA now, you have to make sure that the child would have had enough time in order to prepare properly for the secondary entrance assessment examination.
And so there's many talk about getting rid of the SCA or doing away with the SCA. What do you, as a president of Tutor, and somebody who's going through the education system, thinks about that?
You see, you can't just take away something and don't put something in its place. And what are you going to put in its place in order to assign children to schools and schools that you know that they can function effectively and efficiently? And I will give you an example, and this is a real example. We took corporal punishment out of the system, right, back in the day. And they would have taken it out, and I have no problem with it being taken out. It's good.
Look what we have today.
Exactly. You take it out, but where you put in this? What you put in? Because you looked at the model, they looked at the model in the U.S. and so on and thing, and these people would have done that so many years ago. And but when you look at their schools, each school has a social worker attached to it. Each school has a school nurse. They have their resources that they can, for the social workers and these persons, they work together with the staff, with the administrative staff, with the teachers, with the parents, and the home. They go to the home, they visit the home. They do all these things. But you know what we're having here? The social workers, when their contracts have ended, this is a pattern we're seeing presently. Tutor has been speaking about it, and nothing is being done. Because when the social workers that we have presently, when their contracts come to an end, many of them, they're not getting it renewed. I don't know of any whose contract would have been renewed in the past year and a half, let's say. Not one. Everybody whose contracts would have ended, they say, well, they're home now. They're basically unemployed. And these persons are the persons. You have children who come with issues. They for want of a better word, problematic. And they need the intervention of the professionals. And what they do is they bridge the gap between the school and the home. That is what the school social workers do. And in the absence of these persons, who is there to bridge that gap base? Who is going to do that? And how are these children going to be given a fair shake in terms of society and things? Because some of them, we brand them as being bad, a bad child and a bad child. Sometimes it's circumstances, and sometimes children need to be loved and shown a little love. Now, I understand they'll be deviant ones. We all agree with that. I'm not saying no. And something else has to be put in place for them. But there are times where children just need a little bit of guidance. I saw a young man just the other day in an interview. He spoke about the MyLad program, and he spoke and said that he was very deviant in his growing up. And while he was growing up, his family, they basically, they couldn't deal with him and they wanted to have nothing to do with him.
Yeah, yeah. However, I think until he played that interview on air, yeah, anybody he was talking about. Man. Yeah, 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 of course. It was very, very touching. Man,
yeah, and he showed that listen, I come now and look where I am now, mm-hmm. I would encourage, and he said that he would encourage anybody to go down that path. So yes, we have to continue fighting the fight. We have to continue doing what we need to do. And Twitter is always there and always willing to work cooperatively with every and any entity that really and genuinely has the interest of education at heart. And sometimes when we speak up on things, it's not because we just want to be devil's advocate or we want to be adversarial or we want to make bacchanal, as they say. You know? But if it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, then it is a duck. We have to call it. We have to call it as it is. So the Ministry of Education would have certain things that they need to do and they need to put in place to ensure. So that EAP that those persons would have mentioned, the BOAs that they mentioned, all these things, these are very important things that we need at this point in time. So the parents, in terms of the book list and thing, all I can say is that if it is that you have like very large sum of money that is being asked of you, you simply ask for a breakdown of it. That's all. And if it is that you're dissatisfied with the response that is given to you, you always have the option to write and go to the Ministry of Education.
All right,
they will assign a supervisor.
All right, a couple more questions. In terms of the future of teaching and AI, teachers out there, you know, I know we may be a little bit backward here in Trinidad and Tobago, but are you worried at all about the future of teaching where AI is concerned?
I'm a little concerned with that for sure. Twitter is concerned because we're hearing quite a lot of things about AI and AI and AI. Now, I was making a little joke with somebody yesterday. I come from an agricultural background. I grew up in Wallerfield. Right? It's a farming area. And when I hear about AI, I know about artificial insemination for the animals and things. Me, I know about artificial intelligence. So, but it's a whole different connotation now.
Yeah.
So with the AI that they're proposing, we at least see it to be beneficial. However, there are certain things that need to be put in place.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make sure that every school could access it in the first place. The ministry is saying, and they give statistics about how many schools are there. But I was a school supervisor in the Northeastern Education District base. And you have schools like Matlat and thing up there. You know, Matlat in right around the corner, Matlat right. Very far. And on a daily basis, each school has to submit something called a daily report. And the daily report would have to be submitted via email. And nearly every day base, you see, the ministry would send back something to us as the supervisor, say that Matlat is tardy. It's not a matter of Matlat being tardy. Remember, the connectivity up there is different.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to say that it can work in every school. So sometimes not the one model cannot work in every particular school. You have to find out which model and what alterations have to be made to it to ensure that it fits everybody. So in terms of the future of, I know that this particular minister has a trust in terms of AI, in terms of technology and technological development, and he basically has a strong focus on that. But I would like to urge the minister also to consider the basic needs, because Maslow hierarchy of needs, as a theorist that we study when you're in teaching, he speaks to the fact that the basic needs must be met first. So if I have my food and my table and so on and things to learn in school, you tell me about AI and computer and laptop and things? And
true.
Some of the children, the seating accommodations that they have in school, some of the schools, the probable conditions that the teachers have to teach in and the children have to be taught in.
Yeah, we have a lot of fix before you even have that AI conversation in schools, you know?
Fix them things, all fix right. Those things, so at least show us that they're fixing them simultaneously. Somebody asked me, yes, today a reporter asked me, what about the school vacation repair program? I had to inform that reporter that we are not privy to that information. The Ministry of Education doesn't share that information with us. We have no idea which schools they're going to fix. And you know, those things will just help in communication, because if it is that we are aware of that, then I don't have to come and lambaste the ministry for not doing XYZ. I know that they are doing A, B, C, and D, and I can speak to that. But if you choose not to share any information with me, I have to speak with the knowledge I have present.
Nice, man. A couple more questions here. Mr. Ash, why is it that incompetent teachers not be fired? Why are they relocated? How do you judge an incompetent teacher?
That's an opinion. Huh? That's the opinion of the whoever is the writer there, right? So I believe what they would be talking about is teachers who basically not doing their job. Let me put it like that, right?
Yeah.
For want of a better word.
Mm.
Now, I am not here to defend every teacher in Trinidad and Tobago. I'm here to say the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And the facts would be that in everything, you have good and bad.
Right, yeah.
That is the reality.
Yeah.
You have good and bad.
But and watch me, some parents are really and truly a bit too, as you would, ambitious for the children. Your child may not be, again, all that academically inclined, but you expect a teacher to do a miracle. You know?
Well, basically, let me tell you something. Many of them, it is unfortunate and it's sad to say, but a lot of parents want to live their lives vicariously to children.
They
did not accomplish X, Y, and Z, mm-hmm. and the child must be doctor and lawyer and this right. and that and astronaut and all kind of things.
Yeah.
Some of them even pass SCA or whatever, but you want your child, and I have no problem, that's all well and good. But sometimes you push the children.
You gotta be realistic, and that is not what the child, and then some of these children watch when they get depressed. That's why some of them want to commit suicide, because you just pushing them
and
into what they don't want to be.
Suicidal thing. There's a real big thing these days.
Because
a lot of children are seeing this on social media. But let me get back to the question, because the question the person asked into
why they relocated.
Getting them out is not as easy as that, because in everything, there's a process.
Right.
So the process has to be that the principal, whoever is the principal, has to take records of what is being done. There's something called progressive discipline. Progressive discipline will start with counseling. After you counsel, you write to the teacher, give them a certain amount of time in a base to fix the problem.
Yeah.
You ask them, but what is the problem? Let's say to the base is the teacher. And base coming late every day. Every day you're coming late and you're doing what you want and you're dropping. I call you. I say, base, what's going on? You're coming late every day. You cannot continue that because school starts at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
You need to be here at 8 o'clock or before 8 o'clock.
Yeah, set an example.
Yes. So we talk about it. Then you I try to ask you as the principal, what can I do to assist you? Is there anything that you believe that I can do to assist you to come? You want me to call you every morning? I mean, we shouldn't have to do all of that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But as I say, the principal will try to put something in place. And after that, if it continues, then you go to the writing stage. When you start to write now, the teacher, now you have to write. And this is a long, long process. The teacher, the principal can't fire nobody. You know? Teaching Service Commission is the only person, the only group with that authority. So when all that information is compiled, it's sent to the Ministry of Education, disciplinary action may be taken against the teacher. When disciplinary action is taken against the teacher, many of the times, basically, you have people suspended from the teaching service. And they're suspended for years. And the matter just going on there. And a lot of the times, many of them, for whatever reason, they win the case or they just reinstated, and they get like a lump sum of money and thing. So you get a vacation time. You ain't doing your work in the first place. They get a vacation and then your thing, right? So like I said, good and bad. It's unfortunate sometimes that people would make these blanket statements. Because if we look and we would, all the thousands of children being educated, then we would have to agree that the majority of the teachers are doing their jobs. That is a fact.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have so many children being successful. But in between, yes, you might have a one or two people who may not really, teaching may not be for them. And we know that, and that is the reality. But we are not the ones to try to employ them. The Ministry of Education through Teaching Service Commission did that.
Yeah.
So therefore, they need to do their job and ensure that if it is that you have bad apples, deal with them as you see fit. Once you do it in the correct manner.
All right, another question. A lot of questions. So you give about give me the next 5 minutes. Why can't the ministry not hire PE teachers to rotate them so that children get exercise? Exercise helps the brain and is a study. Don't all schools have a PE teacher or some kind of PE program?
All right, so that person would be referring to the primary school system, because in the primary school system, all the teachers they're not specialized in any subject area. So they teach everything across the board, right? So you don't have PE teachers. What they alluding there to is that, well, we have a level of obesity in children, and we all know that,
right?
And diabetes is a real thing. In my old school, I had children who drinking soft drink. Every day they want to drink soft drink, drinking the big one. Until even
Right, because
I tried to show you
what
before
now.
That come into play.
Yeah.
Even before that come into play,
yeah.
Some principals like myself, we cut all that because no, you can't be doing that, right? So in terms of the PE teacher, specialization is not an option, it's not one that is offered to members of the teaching service who are attached to primary schools. Tutor has advocated for that. We have asked for that. Under the previous, there was a chief education officer who is now the advisor to the minister, Mr. Harilal Sitcharan. In 2013, January, I remember it clearly, we had a meeting because I had just become a principal in 2012, September. And in the next year, we had a meeting. And he said that, listen, primary schools, we need to try to work on terms of specialization. Physical education is one of those areas because there were a number of persons who would have been trained in the university and they have the degree. So we have sufficient to put in the primary schools and to get them out there. To date, it has not happened.
Right.
And that is, sometimes that's what the ministry does. So they say they're going to do something, but they follow through. And to ensure that it's actually implemented, that is really the problem. And they may have a plethora of reasons why these things are not implemented, but the long and short is, that the principals and the teachers who are in the system, they are the ones who are feeling the burden. So you have teachers, it is on the curriculum, so the primary school teacher will do a level of physical education, but is it sufficient to ensure that the child, parents also have a responsibility. Not the easiest thing to put in a child lunch kit, must be put there every day. Mm-hmm. So you can't put KFC every day, add a little boy base. Every day you bring in pizza and burger and this and that. I had to call the parents in.
I said,
man, what are you doing, what are you doing? Because he was a single parent, he's a father.
Right. He just telling me that the
boy,
yeah.
No, the boy likes it.
Okay.
I said, so because he likes
like
it, you're going to give him it every day? Oh, gosh. You like him and you love him. You're loving him to death.
Getting him diabetes.
He will die.
Yeah,
he will die. Mm. Don't do that. And then his father started to have, he started to come at home, cook meals and what have you.
Right.
And little healthier snacks and things, like fruits and things.
Right.
And we also, we have to encourage our parents to do the right thing because... Mm. Teachers and principals can't do it by themselves.
Of course, no. Look, even sometimes, yes, of course, I walk to work every day, right? Park my car and walk.
Right.
Outside of school, I see the snow cone man selling things there, which I find that should be banned. But after school, you would see these parents out there buying snow cone for these children and putting milk and all kind of thing every single day. I say, but look at this. This is so unhealthy.
But one of them children gets sick there, right? If one child gets sick and something gets back and they want to say it's the principal, that's the first thing they want to say. The child gets sick while they're in school, which has nothing
and
to do
with it. And they buying it for them, the parents buying it for them.
Whenever I had sports and thing in Barat, I had base, and while sports going on, Snookwood man pull up with the van and they and want to sell.
I
tell him, I say, partner, you cannot sell this here.
Very good.
This is a school event, this is a school activity. Mm. One parent, I remember clearly, he's a police officer. He sent his son still to purchase the snow cone.
Yeah.
And when I saw the somebody lying, I said, what are you doing here? He said, his daddy sent him to buy. I said, daddy can't send you to buy.
Yeah.
I made an announcement and no one is to buy.
That's right.
Can I have a seat by your father, please?
Yeah.
And he went back. The father was very perturbed and he came to tell me about, he's the father. And he gave him permission. I said, let me tell you something, brother. You can gain permission when you carry him out. I said,
that's
this is
right.
A school event.
Yeah.
I am in charge.
Mm-hmm.
If something happens, the ministry is not going to ask you a question. They're going to ask me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so until that time changes, he will do what I say while we are in a school activity.
Very good. And but the thing with the PE in schools, I mean, PE teachers could, like somebody said, could discover runners, footballers, cricketers. Look, we just had our under-19. We need to be pushing more sport in the school.
Allow me to carry it a little further.
Yeah.
So this year, the National Primary School Track and Field Association did not execute what is called the National Games. National Games is a big thing. You bring children from Tobago, Matlot, Cedrus, all over the place. They come and they culminate in the Hazy Coffer Stadium,
right,
we have
yeah.
the best of the best of the best.
Right.
Now, in the past, you had, immediate past, you had National Gas Company coming on board to support and sponsor. But years prior to that, you had Atlantic. Atlantic LNG used to pay millions of dollars to do this thing. The Ministry of Education never spent one red cent all them years.
Yeah.
I asked the Ministry of Education this year, I asked in a public space, listen, if it is that the Atlantic would have done it, National Gas Company would have done it, all these things. And they are not in a position, financially viable enough position to do it this time.
Yeah.
Why can't the ministry step up on this particular occasion and say, listen, let me do what we have to do. We have all this $1 million for education. Sport is important. Because when these children they get to recognize, identify their talent and so on. And you know they're making more money than us when they're the professional artists.
Yeah, but I mentioned that. Look how much money, by World Cup and then look how much money them the teams getting and all this kind of thing. They getting more money. They're making money.
It is to be encouraged.
Yeah.
Be encouraged because, you know, the discipline that these children have to have in order to wake up very early, to go to trade, in order to have, you learn time management skills.
Yeah.
So
discipline.
You know, study a book, you know when to think. Discipline.
Yeah.
And they gain quite a lot. But when you cancel national games and the Ministry of Education sends out something saying they cancel, why don't you simply say, listen, Belaid, if we can't have the full games, at least we'll have it partial or something.
Something. Yeah.
And you pretend as if you don't know about it.
Mm.
When I asked the Minister of Sport about it, he had no knowledge that the game was cancelled.
How is that possible? Yeah, but it's terrible.
Ministry of Education and Ministry of Sports and communicating, what's going on there, man?
Yeah. So you as the newly appointed, you know, two-tier president, what are some of the things that you have on your mantle to put out there, where you'd like to see, you know, happen?
Well, it would be remiss of me not to mention this first one. I want to see my teachers get their back pay.
Okay.
I want to see my teachers get their back pay first and foremost.
Yeah,
because we would have signed an agreement in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
And let us be realistic. It's not about teachers wanting more money or anything like that.
Yeah.
It is what was negotiated for. It was what was agreed for. It was a signed dotted line. What was promised.
Mm-hmm.
And what still has not been delivered. So that's the first thing on my back pay.
Right.
Now, in terms of teacher professionalism and training. We'd want to ensure that children are provided with the best education possible. So we want to make sure that teachers are trained all the time. Look, right now, presently, just yesterday, I was in Cascadia Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Caribbean Union of Teachers.
Right.
They have an executive meeting of which Tutor is part of, and we are the host. We are the host union.
Yeah.
So the Minister of Education actually was there. So he addressed the group and so on. I was there as well. And it's running for 3 days. So that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And we have leaders from all the different unions meeting in Trinidad and discussing matters related to education and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one for man. In terms of Tutor also launched a program called the Summer Institute with the Caribbean, the Canadian Teachers Federation. So there's a group in Canada, the Canadian Teachers Federation, and they have collaborated with Tutor, the Trinidad and Tobago Unified Teachers Association, to run a 2-week program. So you have people, teachers, educators, mm-hmm. who are taking 2 weeks out of their vacation in a breeze.
Yeah.
These people taking 2 weeks where they could be on some beach relaxing and thing, taking
right.
2 weeks because they want to develop their pedagogical skill. My tongue tying up a little bit.
Yeah, right?
They want to develop a skill set in terms of teaching
mm-hmm,
and ensure
mm-hmm.
that they are better equipped to deliver to their charges.
Important.
So they're taking their time.
Yeah.
So we're running this program. There's a course attached to it, a $500 course,
mm-hmm.
which really ain't paid. Costing nothing because every day they get in a meal worth $50, so basically they get back all the money there already.
Yeah.
Right? But yet the skill sets that you're going to be leaving there with will be second to none. And the persons there are quite a number of them who are there who would have done it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And we have it running. And if you may allow me, we have also coming up next week, Monday and Tuesday, we have the AI in teaching in schools. That's
okay.
a special component.
Right.
And we're encouraging persons who want to be part of the program. You can't register for the whole program,
mm-hmm.
but you still can register for those 2 days.
Yeah.
So it's only $200 and you can be part of the program. Develop your skills in terms of being the best teacher that you can be because
mm-hmm.
you want to make sure. So teacher development is something that we see that we want to take. Basically, I want to touch on something else. You see, people work for sometimes 30-something years, 40 years in teaching service. And when you finish,
mm-hmm.
you can't get a pension or gratuity. You
right.
have to be waiting 2-3 years to get your money. Sometimes people sick because at that age, many times, you have little illnesses and so on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have your medical bills.
Right.
You can't even get your money. You're living, you're begging your family to help you out financially. And mm-hmm. if you didn't
put
things in place
privately.
Yeah, that is rough. And when you tell the ministry about it and you explain to them what is going on, they want to get on as if, like you're overreacting.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when you in something that you just feel it, you know.
Yeah, true.
So we have persons who are in what they call the third schedule. So these people are people like school supervisors,
mm-hmm.
curriculum officers.
Yeah.
You have DERE, personal social services workers. So all of them form what is called the third schedule in teaching. Now these persons are what you call traveling officers. They have
yeah.
to travel. They have to go. Their job entails them to go different places.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's happening, Bess? You are sometimes right now. I have people who tell me 9 months they didn't get the traveling.
Hmm.
No traveling upkeep to maintain your vehicle, you have to be able to pay to your shocks, you know, Trinidad Road
yeah,
or fancy
yeah, yeah.
with pothole and thing, right?
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So you now have to take out money out of your own pocket. People are owed more than $40,000-$50,000.
Mm-hmm.
And when you ask the ministry what is going on with that and why are they not receiving their monies,
mm-hmm.
basically, they have no answer.
Right.
But you know, part of the problem is that you have the clerks and them in the Ministry of Education, sometimes when they are to do their jobs, they're not being supervised properly.
Hmm.
So they're not doing what it is they're supposed to do in a timely manner. You can't have people coming who's supposed to be on work 8 o'clock, reaching the work 10 o'clock base.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be there 8, but you're reaching 10,
hmm.
and then you're leaving early too. So when are you going
yeah.
to do it? I always tell people, first world status is not about tall
yeah,
skyscrapers
and businesses. Attitude.
It's about a mindset.
Yeah.
I am working to the development of my country. I want to work as hard as I can.
Hmm.
Look, this tutor work. I taught before when I was a principal, when I was a supervisor, I was busy. But based on telling you, I didn't know what busy was. Being tutor president is the epitome of busy. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining at all. Look at my role.
Sign up for it.
Nice. Mm. Yeah.
No,
but
say,
but
yeah. Sign up for that. That's where you sign up for. You had to do the job. You had to put
quite
in
correct.
Work. You had to put in
correct.
The work. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. I'm very impressed. And one thing too about we students on vacation, all right? Like I say, back mm-hmm. in our times, it had things you used to look forward to. But I know it's not all up to the government and the Ministry of Education and thing. But a lot of parents right now, I know what to do with these children. But they think some of them just home. Yeah, they need to
tough,
relax and
tough.
Thing, you know. But you need to get some more programs for them to go in too. Back in my time, with that party time, with that thing you could have go.
Yes.
Get yourself involved in. We used to look forward to go to Daniel's, you know, something. But it's like, you know, it's just that we need to put a, if you could have like a list shoot out there to parents with programs, football clubs, any activities at all that, you know, they could get their children involved into for the July, August vacation. That'll be real.
Definitely. Good, you know? Definitely, because they need to be kept on the street on our part and be involved in something that is productive and meaningful. They just want them to end up, next thing they end up in the wrong company.
That's
during
right.
this period. And we want anything like that. And then you want to ensure that some level of work is done and preparation for the next term.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you buy the books and whatever you have to get early, as early as possible. Don't wait till last minute. So you get that early. Child's supposed to start to work on them books and then one time.
For real. All right, Mr. Ashwell, thank you very much for your time. And well, all the best with your tutor.
Much appreciated, Bess. Right, thanks a lot, man. Pleasant day, right?
Yeah, bye-bye. Man. Okay. Take care. All right, so that's it, folks. We've been talking to Mr. Ash. You know, we had a lot of questions. Hi to everybody who messaged in with their questions. Right? Tutor.
The best insight. Instant feedback. Accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.